We back. G Lou, Digital West, soul of the streets. To that, shout out to the homegirl in there. Yeah, hey. Now let me welcome everybody to the wild, wild west. The school of hard knocks, every day is a test. Home of the body bags, any day could be a death. Especially when everybody is considered a threat. On a red eye flight, back to LAX. Back on my LA shit, I'm a LA vet. Got the keys to the city and brick cities to set. And for 30 plus years, I rep my city the best. What's next on the list to make the mission complete? After all this shit that popped off on the streets and our lies on me. But I won't change sides, cause what I represent till I die, come on. So even if I tried, I can't give up this shit. It's been a minute since you heard somebody spit it like me. I'm just happy that they finally freed all the homies. Shout out the LBC and the CPT, Lawndale, Palmdale, down to Huntington Beach. Big Pops from the blocks of the BCB, same place where they filmed the movie House Party. I'm from the era where the bangers really ran the streets. Roll up, hit you up, have you scared to speak. Ben Davis or the Dickies, every starch in they crease. Raider hat, black Nike Cortez on they feet. When the LA area code was 213, when the Dodgers used to play on KT TV, when the Lakers used to play on KCAL Channel 9, at the Forman Eaglewood, I was right there in line. That was 89, then we moved to the 90s, now it's 2023, and it still ain't hard to find me. Cali love, much love to Pac, beats made by Trey, give a shout out to Doc. Matter of fact, give a shout out to all them Cali blocks, from the Sac to the Bay to all the LA spots. Cobra City, Mid-City to the middle of Watts, Altadena, Pasadena, yeah the valley is hot, come on. Got a story to tell. Drive-bys, body bags, you can tell by the smell. Hit the county jail, make it out on bail. Right back to the studio with stories to tell. You know me well, I'm the same OG, and I'ma always show love to these LA streets. From Long Beach all the way up to Pomona, La Puente, Pacoima, Vicente, Simón, Este Puente. From La Siena, go to Village Boulevard, by the Shaw, all the way up to MacArthur Park. It gets crazy after dark, we'll be late. G-Lou putting it down for California, yay. Give a shout out to the Bay, to the 619, all the way to Tijuana by the border state line. Everything is fine till you pass them blocks. Stop signs with bullet holes, then you heard them shots. Everything stops, then it's right back cracking. With 25 to life is the only thing happening. I still love it cause it's home and can't leave it. West Coast, California's active, homie, believe it.
Oh, Well, they doing it at the G-Lou Show Westside Radio with a sprinkler that tweet Cadillac. By the way of the pot shared by Gina. Gangsta Gangsta got the motherfucking church house, and then Flossy got us up in this Bentley. So this is the G-Lou Show Westside Radio, the 27th letter of the alphabet, which comes to the number 9 when you add it up, the Hidden University of America, where they doing it at.
It's your homie G. Lou, and we are back for another episode of Westside Wednesdays, the world-famous Westside Wednesdays radio show with G. Lou and the world-famous Miss Queen Jean. We are back for another spill. People, welcome. Yep, and tonight we got a very special episode, man. Before I bring in Queen Jean, let me give you a quick spill. Tonight we got a great episode, man. It's called How the West Was Won. We're going to celebrate 50 years of hip-hop. Yes, once again, hip-hop. It's celebrating 50 years today, and this year. So we're going to celebrate it tonight on the show. And we're going to give it up for the West because it's West Side Wednesday. So we're going to let you know how the West was won. We're going to give you a cool little spill. Dr. Dre, shout out to the homie Big Boy who put it together. Dr. Dre, Warren G, Snoop Dogg, give you a spill of how, everything was put together and how the West was won. Yeah, so also let me give a special shout out to our sponsors before we get started. Shout out to BTP Media Group, the homie Jeff Kwan, and the Kwan Glomerant out of the Bay Area, who makes a lot of things happen. We got a lot of big things popping coming up real shortly here with BTP Media Group. We got a lot of great interviews coming up. We got MC8. We got I ain't even gonna speak on it. You know what I mean? But we got a lot of good stuff coming up. So shout out to BTP Media Group. Also 93.3 Tweed FM Ism. The big homie, Tweed Cadillac, on Thursday nights, Blog Talk Radio. I co-host with the homie, so make sure you're there. That'll be tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 Eastern, right? TweedCadillac.com as well. Also, shout out to Dee Dee Harrison, author, publisher, producer. Check out her books on Amazon. Check her out in the Hookah Lounge on YouTube, the G-Lou Show. Also, shout out to Normani Candles, our newest sponsor. Beautiful young black queens, independently owned. They got the freshest, dopest candles you're gonna find on the market, man. So skip all the other shit. Tap in at NormaniCandles.com or follow them on IG, Normani Candles, and you'll have your house smelling immaculate. You dig? Also, shout out to One World Magazine, the dopest, hippest, flyest magazine in the world. Follow them on IG, One World with the One World Magazine, and get your issue, homie. Street level clothing. You want the OG golf hats? Street level clothing to get you hooked up, homie. You can look like an OG. You dig? With that being said, I'm going to bring in the queen, the world famous Queen Jean, 6'3", stay out of her way, soon to be 6'4". She ain't putting it on the floor, though, but she is here. Welcome, Queen Jean.
Not putting it on the floor, because the West Side is always better. The great G. Lou, what it do?
Hey. Hey, hey, hey. What's popping, Queen?
Oh, a headache is popping, a throat ache is popping. It's like, can I just go in the hole for a minute and come out and feel brand new?
Oh, man. Man, you ain't got none of them good pills, nothing to take over there? You can, you know,
I don't have none of
it.
No, none of the good medication. And I was saying to myself today, actually, I put it out in our prayer circle. Just pray for me because it seemed like it's always something like with my head, because my head is always hurting. And now in this throat of mine, and then I have a lot of, I know you probably heard it last week, we kept doing, you know, you can kind of tell. But my throat. I really feel like I had that respiratory virus, and I didn't go to the doctor for it. I just, you know, thought it was, I don't know if anyone ever experienced a lot of mucus. You get a lot of mucus in you, and you're trying, you know, that cough is like a smoker cough, not a cocaine smoker, but a smoker.
Right,
you might smoke a lot of cigarettes.
Right, I got
you. Know, that's
I got
kind
you.
Of, yeah.
Hold on now. Let me make it clear.
Yeah, let me make it clear. And that's my cough, you know, where it's made my throat really raw. So I'm drinking on some tea right now, and I'm just chilling. But I'm here, so all praise to the Most High.
That part. That part.
Yeah.
That's the most important
part. All praise
part,
to the
God.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You gotta give the praise. Yeah. Gotta give the honors and the respect
and guess what, Queen?
To the Most High. Yeah.
We gotta do that. And guess what? You ain't even got a trip tonight. You ain't got to strain that voice. I want you to kick back. Because like I said, we're going to listen to some good commentary tonight and get some history and information that I'm sure we could all use, especially
mm-hmm.
since it's West Side Wednesdays. We're celebrating 50 years of hip-hop, and what other way
That's
to do it than celebrate the West Coast, you know what I'm saying? So we're going to give it up to Big Dr. Dre because he's really the tree and the branches and the foundation of everything, and get some good stories. Shout out to Big Boy, put it together. And we're just going to kick back and celebrate 50 years of hip-hop on the West Coast since it's West Side Wednesdays, Queen. How about that?
Hey, I can dig it. I appreciate it. So I'm just going to chill. I'm going to put on my other little device and just really chill now and let you go ahead and do what you do as the amazing, the great G. Lou. And that's amazing that we have 50 years of hip-hop. That is truly amazing.
Yes.
So shout out to West Coast 50 years of hip-hop. You know, that's why I'm proud to be from the West Coast. I miss home.
That
do you
part.
Miss home, King?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Yes.
Yes,
I miss
yes.
home. But anyway, I'll go ahead and let you do your thing. I'm just going to sit back and chill, sip on my tea.
All right. Let's go, y'all. 50 years on the West. Let's go.
That's the last thing I remember from Cuz. Him doing me like this.
And he was on his way to Vegas.
Yep. The next time I seen him, he was laying in the hospital.
Gunshots on corner of Cobalt and Flamingo. Did you see anybody?
No.
August
11,
1973,
that
was the birth of
hip-hop.
Now, we made it the White House.
It's a culture that makes you
want to
be part of it.
I'm not saying I'm going to move the world or I'm going to change the world, but I guarantee that I will spark the brain that will change the world, will change the world.
Nobody expected to go this far. Nobody.
How was NWA formed?
Well, NWA was formed just out of friends that got together and decided to make a group, you know. I wanted to get away from the group I was in, the Wrecking Crew at the time,
right.
You know what I mean? So I was really trying to find a way to get away. I didn't have enough money to go in and record. I had a group that I was ready to record on, and I didn't have enough money, so bam, in comes Easy. You know what I mean? I knew he had money. He was out hustling. It's like, listen, man, why don't you come throw some money into this music thing? You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So me and him got together. And the song that was written for this group just happened to be Boys in the Hood.
Yes, sir.
They were from New Jersey, New York, or something like that. They decided they didn't want to do it, so I talked Easy into doing the record.
Man,
you know?
And Easy didn't want to be a rapper at first.
He did not want to be a rapper. It took me a couple of hours to talk him into getting on the mic and just trying it.
And
you know?
Everything was kind of like punching, like cruising
yeah.
down the street in my 6'4". All right,
Stop.
You got that.
Yep, throughout the whole song.
Man.
One line at a time.
What, you want me to scream? To put out hits? Now wanna turn up? Oh, shit, man. Now wanna turn up? Oh, shit. Ah,
73,
hey. Shit.
We only got to tomorrow. That's all right.
Then you see him form into the guy that we see as Eazy-E.
Eazy is his name and the voice coming
straight out of Compton.
Yeah,
you know what I
mean?
The same with Snoop. When I first saw Snoop wasn't looking at camera, you know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right.
He was all timid and everything. Now Snoop looking at the camera. Yeah, you motherfucker. You know
Dre used to come over, and one particular holiday he came over, and Warren G had like a little turntable set up in the back with a cassette, and they was having a little family get together, and that's when we all went in the back room, and I'm like, I hope this nigga Warren G don't put me on the spot, cause I'm not that.
You weren't as confident?
No.
Right.
No way. No fucking way. So Dre come in, and Dre at the time, he like, shit, I'm working on Eazy new album. Y'all want to hear some shit? And I'm like, hell yeah. I'm in that motherfucker like a dog finna get a treat.
Yeah.
Nigga like, yeah, hell yeah. That nigga put on that, he was once a thug from around the way. Eazy. And you just shut the fuck up. Get the fuck out of here.
We will get the hood. It's a place to be.
Yeah, oh my god.
Nigga, that shit was so hard. Then it got to the part where we say, he shot. Bah, bah, I shot. As you can see, I cold smoked his ass, and the nigga Dre just turned it off like that. And he just looked at us. And me and Warren G was like, cuz that shit is hard as fuck. And then Warren G said, Snoopy can rap. And Dre was like, I'm finna go get me something to eat. I was like, yes.
Hey, man.
Get me a
but
plate,
he
too.
Believed it. But at that point,
he
you
believed
was like,
it. Like,
no,
nigga,
not
after
it.
That.
Not
if you don't shut
it.
The fuck up.
I used to tell him Snoop could rap. Like, Dre, Snoop could rap. You should listen to him. You know, because I know he was messing with artists back then. I was like, listen to him. He dope. But he wasn't trying to hear that. Yeah, he was like, all right. He was like, oh, okay. Keep it pushing.
Like, if we're talking about 85 to 95,
right.
There was a lot going on during that time.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Why that particular time, man? And do you feel like, man, like there were certain things that was going on, like the crack epidemic.
Yeah, we got all that in there.
With the gangsterism.
The police brutality.
Yes,
really,
sir.
You know, it's really a period. The period is between 86 and 96. So we couldn't stop the movie until after the passing of Easy.
I hear you.
You know what I mean? So that's why we use that timeline.
I hear you. Now, with Easy-E, man, was it hard to actually do the Easy-E parts? You know what I'm saying? As far as, like, how did you want Easy-E to be symbolized?
We wanted to be as authentic as possible. Yeah. And there's this actor, Jason Mitchell, who actually plays Easy. He did an incredible job. I mean, there's a couple of times where I got a little emotional on set. You know what I mean? When he's in the hospital and he finds out he has the disease and what have you, his acting was that great.
Yeah.
Goosebumps. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I didn't even know this is Blood Neighborhood and this is Snoop Dogg and Warren G. Like, young Crips, not like active, mm-hmm. active gangbanger, but we Crips,
know you
but don't
to get the pass.
Know. We're going there to get to that. So this is probably about 2 months. We're going to every day. So one day, just to get off the side of the story, DOC is up there, and Eazy-E come up there, and DOC and Eazy-E have a fight. And somebody won that shouldn't have won, but moving on.
Like a fist fight?
A fight, nigga.
DOC and Eazy-E a fist
yes.
fight?
Yes.
And you said somebody won that shouldn't have won.
Exactly. So you figure it out.
Did Eazy get DOC?
Moving on.
All right.
So then we sit in the studio, right? We downstairs playing Madden. This is when I meet Mike Smooth, Deacon Fresh Out, Deacon from Grape Street Watch. It's like Gang Bang Central
right.
downstairs. Like, they got some real shit. Mm-hmm. They like Baby Ruthless over here, Bud the Law, because they smoking hot, they doing their thing. But Dre is about to leave.
Mm-hmm.
It's not public, but he's about to leave.
Did you know that?
No. No, I know nothing.
Right.
I'm just trying to get on.
Yeah. Did you get a chance to actually speak with Eazy-E before Eazy-E passed? Like,
yes, I
what
did.
Was your relationship?
Yes, I did. I was so fortunate to be able to get on the phone with him and talk about maybe putting the NWA back together, and we chopped it up about old times and what have you, and maybe not even 2 weeks after that, he was in the hospital.
Really, though?
Yeah. So the last time I actually saw him, he didn't know I was in the room. He was on life support. You know, so I just reached down and whispered a few words in his ear, and I think maybe the next day or two he passed away.
But you guys had a chance to just talk as brothers.
Yes, we got a chance to rekindle it and, like I said, actually talk about getting in the studio again.
You kind of got frustrated with music, and you threw all your raps away. Was that because you didn't think, like, man, this is going to pop, or we're not making any money? What made you throw it away, and what did Warren do?
Well, it was... I had been to jail a couple of times, and this was like one time that I was like really seriously like not going to sell drugs, not going to be involved with the hood, really focus on the music. But the opportunities wasn't coming. We would give our cassettes to certain people. That's when cassettes was out.
Mm-hmm.
And they would move them around for us and rotate them. We would always get the feedback that, nah, that ain't what we're looking for. So we went to Hollywood one time, and we was in a room with some business people. We played my little cassette, and when it was over, the white dude was like, nah, we're looking for something more like DJ Quick.
Damn.
I'm like, huh? I'm like, wow, that shit broke my heart. And I was like, all right, cool. So then I was just like done with it. Like, somebody tell you some shit like that, and you trying to do it, and they like compare you to somebody that you know you ain't nowhere next to. Nigga, Quick shit was like, fucking amazing. That's when this shit first came out. I'm talking about he had a mixtape that was banging. His blood mixtape was banging all in our neighborhood. And he was dissing Crip like a motherfucker. But niggas didn't give a fuck. This shit was hard. Swinging from tree to tree, it's me. I'm DJ Fruit, and I don't fuck fruits. And they just own one. So from hearing that comment to me going back to the hood, just looking around, I just got all my raps, put all the motherfuckers in a pile. Threw the motherfuckers in the big-ass garbage disposal in the back. And went in the room, was just like, fuck it. Started making phone calls like, I need to get a sack. Because I used to work for like about five or six niggas. I was one of them drug dealers that worked for everybody. Like, I take your dope, and his dope, and pay him off, and him off. I was one of them niggas, one of them sneaky niggas that just sold dope for everybody. So I was on the phone call getting all that shit. And Warren G was like, man, fuck that, cuz. Oh, cuz, fuck that. I'm like, man, I'm done with this shit. So I walked outside in the back. This nigga jumped in the trash can. It's a big-ass green, like the big one.
Like the dumpster.
Yes, one of them. With the thing you got to lift up. He in that motherfucker gathering all the motherfuckers together, putting them all back in place. He put them back in place and put them in my room.
Did that happen?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you go in the trash and get his wraps?
Yeah. Yeah, I went right in there and grabbed them. It was just like, you know, this all we have right now to try to escape out of getting killed on the spot. Mm-hmm. You know, cuz we was, like I said, it was we were getting shot at, all kind of stuff. So this was our escape, the music. So he got tired of it because wasn't nothing happening, so he was just like, F this.
Right.
And I was like, no, I got the shit out the trash and I brought it back, and I was like, we got to keep pushing, you know, keep pushing to just stay out of the way of these streets and follow this, you know, because we went through some close ones. I'm talking about Point Blank Range.
Did you know, like, what that meant to you at the time? No. When you back it now?
No. And it's a dope-ass story. Like, it sounds like it's a movie shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. A nigga made this shit up, but this shit is like, it really fucking happened. Like, like, Warren G believed in me way more than me. Like, that's the nigga that knew. I'm going to be honest with you. Warren G knew. That nigga knew all along, being around in W.A. and Easy and them.
Mm-hmm.
He knew. But I wasn't dope enough. We wasn't dope enough at the time, but he still knew. He was like, nigga, I don't give a fuck. We the hardest niggas. We this, we that. I just know.
Like, he just believed it when you didn't believe it.
That's
or
why.
Totally believe it.
He believed in me more than me.
Snoop Dogg! You know what I'm going to do, R.E. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Y'all know we back up in this motherfucker. So play the weed out here.
Blaze it up. Blaze it up. Top dog. I don't know. Make a funny shit out.
What brought you to Snoop?
Where it was incredible. It was incredible. My baby bro, Warren G,
yes, sir.
He actually brought me the a cassette tape. And we were at a bachelor party, and I popped it in and listened to it like, whoa, I need to meet him. I need to meet him.
We went up there, went in there. It was a nice bachelor party, a lot of beautiful women. You know, we from the hood, so we like blowed away with all the stripping. We blowed away. And they had music going, and I was like, you know, I asked L.A. Drake, can I play this tape? You know, because they was kind of, you know, playing the same stuff a little bit. So he was like, all right. So he grabbed the tape and he started playing it. And he was like, this is hard. He was like, who is this? I said, that's me and my homeboy Snoop and Nate. And he was like, did you let Andre hear this? I was like, nah, I ain't let him hear it.
So your purpose wasn't going to this party? Like, no. Man, Dre got to hear this.
No.
You just happened to have it on you.
I had it on me.
Right.
I mean, because that's what we was doing at
right.
that time.
Always.
And we just used to love to hear ourselves in
yeah,
the car.
Yeah, man.
So my homeboys, they loved our, you know, me and Snoop and our music. So we had it with us all every time we went somewhere. So he heard it and he was like, who was this? I was like, it's me, Snoop, and Nate. And he was like, y'all come up to the studio on Monday.
Right.
And,
so Dre heard it that night?
Yeah, he heard it that
so
night.
So you put it in. What gets his attention? He just hears it?
He heard and was just like, you know, how he do that
yeah.
with his head. He was like, oh, this, who was this? And I was like, that's me, Snoop, and Nate.
And what it was the way he said his words and his voice. Mm-hmm. You know, I really like working with artists that have interesting voices. If you notice, most of the artists I've worked with, you'll know their voice as soon as you hear them.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So that was one of the things that really turned me on.
So I called him and like, what's up? And he was like, what's up? I was like, I want to talk to you because Dre wants us to come to the studio on Monday. And he was just like, nigga, I ain't trying to hear that. And boom, he hung the phone up on me. And I called him back. I said, look, man. I said, please, let me call him on the three-way. And you talk to him. And we go from there.
Right.
So called him.
Snoopy. Cuz, I got Dre on the phone, cuz. What's up?
And I was like, Andre, I got Snoop on the phone. Would you tell him that you want us to come to the studio on Monday? And he was like, this ain't Dre. And he's like, this is Dre.
Man, quit motherfucking lying. No motherfucking Dr. Dre, nigga. This is Dre. Hello? Hello?
Yeah.
And then he was like, kind of like, oh, shit.
Right.
Like,
I ain't going to hang this one
yeah.
up.
I heard that cassette Monday. Can you come to the studio?
We hung up the phone. I went and linked up with him. We had some old English and
right.
bud and shit, you know, happy.
Because
he want to listen to us, you know. So that Monday, my homeboy Rump, we jumped in his car. He had a Ford something where we had to drive all the way up to Hollywood where we get to the light, put it in park.
Yeah, man. Yeah, keep it going so the accelerator won't go down and cut off. Hell yeah.
We did that all the way to Hollywood to there.
Did you have a car at that time?
No, I didn't have a
car.
Did
Dog have a car?
Nope.
Right.
He didn't have no cars at that time. So we went back to the hood after recording and kept coming back and forth. And at that time, it was Dre, Doc, and Suge, and they was, like, asking us, like, what do we need? So Doc was like, what you need? I said, we need a car. So he cut a check, and I went and bought a black Monte Carlo, and it was a car for us to bring us back and forth to the studio. And then we kept working and coming back and forth. So Dre was just like, why don't y'all come up to the valley and stay with me so y'all can get out them streets.
Right.
And let's just work.
Did you know Deep Cover was going to be a soundtrack to people's lives when you did it? Not just
no.
a soundtrack, but a soundtrack to people's lives.
No, nigga, the way the song happened, we had Calabasas at Dre's house. He got no furniture in the studio. He finna go to the gym. And he like, I'm finna go to the gym and put this track on. We got to do this shit for this soundtrack. I don't even know what the fucking movie about, but I want my first lines to be, tonight, I get in some shit. Deep Cover on the Incognito tip. All right, cool, I got you. Boom, he leave, go to the gym. Suge call about 2 hours later. Doggy Dog. What's up, Suge? Look, nigga, I'm finna call with these people from Sony on the phone. They think the song is done, so I need you to rap your ass off until I say cut it off. And then we gon' blah blah nigga Suge gangster, nigga. That's why I respect that nigga to this day to the fullest. So the nigga Suge click back and call back, Doggy Dog, play the shit you and Dre did. All right, boom, 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 boom. tonight, I get in some shit. Yeah, Deep Cover on the Incognito tip. Killing motherfuckers if I have to, peeling caps too. Let you niggas know I'm coming at you. I guess it's part of the game. But I feel for the nigga that think he just gon' come and change things with the quickness. So get it right with the swiftness and let me handle my business. Yo, hey, Doggy Dog, cut that shit off.
Right. Right. Did you have anything else after that?
That was it.
Yeah.
That was it. Cut it off. Boom. All right, I'm gonna call you back. He called me back. Nigga, we got the soundtrack. Nigga, finish the song up. I'm like, what's the movie about? Undercover cop that did it. All right, fuck it. Nigga, I was a drug dealer, and I went to jail for selling to an undercover cop.
You was like, man, this is low-hanging fruit. You're like, I got this.
But I'm writing it for Cuz.
Mm-hmm.
But Cuz here, Cuz say, uh-uh.
You got
it. I need you on there.
So you was just going to write
I'm just going to write it for him.
And it was going to be Dre's
song. Here, I'm Snoop. Who the fuck am I?
It's an honor.
Here, Cuz. Nigga like, nah, nigga. Write the second verse. Okay. Creep with me as I crawl through the hood. Maniac lunatic calling Snoop Eastwood. Kicking dust as I bust puff piece. And the motherfucking punk police. I'm on.
Mm-hmm.
Then the third verse. How about this one? I start getting vocal. How about we do it together?
Right.
That ain't a bad idea.
How crazy was it hearing Snoop on Deep Cover?
Oh, I was charged up.
Yeah. Because at first Snoop said he felt like he was just going to write it. Yeah. And then Dre was like, nah, jump on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he jumps on it, and that record, that introduction to Snoop with Deep Cover and a, yeah, and you don't stop.
Yep.
But you already knew that Dog had that in him.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
And you saw that early on.
Mm-hmm.
What does it feel like when you start to see the video and you start to hear it on the radio and you start to say, man, that's my homeboy Calvin, that's Snoopy right there, you know?
I was pumped up and just calling everybody all over Long Beach. Listen to the radio right now. Look at the video. Go on video. So, look,
yeah,
you know, just,
yeah.
Like telling everybody whenever it was coming on, I'd call like, listen, just listen.
Now, the Chronic, we say classic. And that's not a name that you, a title you just throw away. That is a classic album. And I think everybody
that.
In this room yeah. owned more than one copy of The Chronic. Either it yeah. was on album, it was on cassette, it was on CD, your homie stole it out your car for whatever reason.
Well, you know what? That was that particular record, man. That's like I would say the toughest record that I recorded in my career because, you know, it was right after my separation with Ruthless,
mm-hmm.
and I was in survival mode. And, you know, going from that to the organization that I went to, you know, and all the things that were happening in the studio during the making, it was crazy, you know. During that process, my house burned down.
Damn.
I was shot in the legs,
damn,
you know what I mean?
Damn.
And I was in the studio on crutches for a couple of weeks, you know. Mm-hmm. So it was a lot that went into that record. It was blood, sweat, and beers that went into it, you know what I mean? And so that's one of those records that I don't even listen to anymore.
Really?
Yeah. I have.
Is it emotional? Do you listen? Like why
you know,
not?
I just don't really like being taken back to that era.
I hear you.
You know what I mean?
One day I remember it was a white dude came in the studio and he had this orange bud with the green. It was light green with the orange hairs on it. And he was like, this is a hydroponic. You know, I don't know which one of us said it, but somebody said, Chronic, like hydrochronic, like, you know, say Chronic.
Right.
And then that's when the Chronic name started circulating.
So there was nothing before Chronic as far as like.
We were just working, like. Just
I'm
doing,
talking
just
about the
music.
Name. When Homeboy came in and said it's just hydroponic or whatever it is.
That's how the name came about.
Chronic.
Snoop would tell you it was a white dude because back then. A lot of the white dudes.
Yeah, had, yeah. That's where you had to go.
We wasn't getting that super duper like that. And, That's what.
Did somebody say Chronic on accident?
I think it was Snoop. If I'm not mistaken, it was Snoop that started calling it Chronic because the hydroponic. So somebody
right.
said we looked at it as like that shit is Chronic.
Yeah,
like you know, it's
damn.
Yeah, and that's pretty much how that started in there. So that what was a trip was it was that. That right then and there, and then the riots jumped off.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that inspiration right there was what made
oh
us, what
God.
Created the Chronic.
Did you know that y'all, did it feel like you were making history, or did it feel like you were just making a record at
no,
the time?
No, it just felt like we were making something exceptional.
Really, though?
You know, yeah.
Man, and the vibe in the studio, as far as, you know how, like, the Chronic is one of those albums that, it had to be a moment in time.
Yeah. You
and
know,
then when you fast forward, you don't try to recreate the Chronic, but now you got like you got something that we put so high on a pedestal.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
And you can't go back to that same feeling in your stomach, the same feeling in your head, the bullet in your leg. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Like,
it was just a moment. You know what I mean? Like most of these records that I've made are just for that moment.
Take us through the recording. Like what was that moment like? What did that feel like when you guys were making Nothing But a G Thing?
Okay, there's a story to that. The original version of Nothing But a G Thing was made to a Boss Gag song. I can't remember the name of the song, but Snoop was actually in jail, and I really wanted this demo done. So he called in, and I taped the receiver of the phone to the mic.
Hilarious.
And you can hear jail sounds in the back and everything. He's one, two, that whole thing. So that was the original version. I just happened to be at my mom's house going through records, and then I found this Leon Haywood, I Want to Do Something Freaky
mm-hmm.
to You, and thought that would make a better foundation track. So took that back, recorded the track. Snoop got out, and we just recorded this song at my house. It was a bedroom that I converted into a studio at my house. That's what this, the first half of the Chronic was
And
made.
What was Snoop like at that time when you guys were doing Nothing But a G Thing?
We were just having fun, man.
Really, though?
Yeah, that's it. We were
Did
just having
feel
a
like,
lot of
was
fun.
Was he a guy that you had to push? You know what I'm saying? Because Snoop's appeared
shy he appeared?
Nah,
Snoop
was not shy in the studio. We didn't have to push him in the studio. He was ready for action.
Did you know, man, nothing but a G thing, did you know that you were making history at that time?
I knew after a house party. I played it at a house party, and everybody wanted me to rewind it and keep playing it. That's when I knew it was special.
Man, I wonder where the freeze frame on a little kid in the video?
Yeah, yeah.
That kid, where is that man at now?
right.
When it comes to like Dog and Dre, are you in place with that? Do you know exactly where you are, or did it feel like Snoop was going by himself? Like, damn, like hold on, like because there's no contracts or nothing that solidified y'all. It's just homie love.
Yeah, I wasn't in place. I had to figure out my role. Mm-hmm. You know, I could rap too, but I had to figure my role out. So I was like, I DJ, I can rap, you know, let me produce. And so I can provide, you know, input and try to help.
Be at the table.
Yeah, you know, with the bosses, like having my input and helping this thing be successful. So I asked Dre to show me how to work the MPC 60. When I knew I wasn't a part of it is when we was supposed to go out for the first tour. And everybody had everything in order, and I didn't have nothing. You know, I didn't have no ticket, nobody, no information, no nothing. So I packed like I'm going. I'm like, shit, I guess they're going to get my shit
when I get
to the airport.
Yeah.
So got to the airport, wasn't nothing happening. And they had went and did their thing, and I was pretty butthurt.
So you find out at the airport that you're not going? Who tells
up,
you that?
I didn't have a ticket. No, and, you know, I'm like, where's my ticket? You know, nothing happened. So, they went out for a few weeks doing what they was, you know, on the road and stuff. And then, so when I had a chance, I asked Dre, I was like, man, what's up? You know, what's going on? And he just was like, man, you got to be your own man. You know, so like, huh?
Right.
I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what to do.
And
you
this
know,
is
as
after
far,
the
like,
chronic
go or what
is signed, sealed, delivered, like the chronic is done?
Yeah, this was all.
And you're a part
time
of it?
Yeah.
Visually, vocally, handing things in.
Yeah.
And so you have to leave the airport and watch the homies go on tour.
Yeah.
And you driving back to where you
came from. I didn't drive back. I got a ride from my homegirl Samora and MC Breeze.
Damn. LA Posse Breeze?
Yes.
Go ahead
gave
now.
Gave me a ride. Yeah, they gave me a ride. And after that, you know, like I said, I asked him what was up. He's like, you just got to get out and be your own man. But I still was coming around.
Right.
Still, you know, I was DJing for him still after that.
Right.
You know, I did we did the Santa Monica. You know, that got kind of ugly after this. But the video is, I'm right there in the back DJing that show for Snoop and Dre. But I just had to do what I had to
right.
do. Grab my drum machine, my MPC 60, my records, and my mixer, and went right back to my sister's house on Cedar and was sleeping on the floor and just digging through ideas, you know, finding records, still sampling and doing beats and stuff.
Why weren't you signed to Death Row when everybody else was moving through Death Row?
I don't know if it was because me and Shug used to bump heads a little bit.
6'3", 335 pounds, Marion Knight, known by the nickname of Shug.
Huge guys, looked like a football team showed up. Very intimidating to see these guys who were bigger than my bodyguards.
The head of $100 million record company and one of the most powerful and feared men in the American music industry.
Yeah, he's nobody to mess with.
For instance, it was one incident where a constituent of mine had went and told him that I told him not to sign the contract.
Right.
You know, get a lawyer to look at that contract before you sign it.
Which you would tell your friend anyway,
though,
right?
Yeah, I did. I told my friend that, and another constituent went and said that Warren told da-da-da-da-da not to sign the paperwork, so... He was like, hey, Blood, where Warren at? And I'm like,
is that Shug?
Yeah.
You hear that? You hear that down the hallway.
I took off. Look, he came out the I ran, and because I'm thinking there was some stairs. I forgot the stairs was the other way. So I'm hitting the elevator, trying to get.
It's like that scary movie with the white girl. Like,
yeah, he caught me. He caught me at the elevator. It was me and my homeboy Cisco. He caught me at the elevator and just grabbed me and threw me on the bam. Blood, you told them not to sign that contract. Swear to God, I told him on my mama. I told him, I said, look, you don't get your hands off me, I'm gonna call my brother and I'm calling all my homeboys. And he let me go. You know, and the guy I had with me, Cisco, he's a gunner. But I wouldn't have wanted nothing to happen.
Right, but you knew he was.
You know what I mean? But he was a gunner.
Did you feel like that was, you were out like then, like you knew that, like, yeah, that relationship, this relationship done changed?
I mean, we was cool after that.
Suge was the experienced one at the time as far as dealing with everything. And people don't like giving him credit, but he was a brilliant motherfucker when he was at his best. He was a sharp thinker. He was smart. He knew he had an answer to everything. He was like the fixer, the cleaner.
Yeah.
Something's wrong, he knows what to do. Like, and we was always doing something wrong, and we didn't know what the fuck to do. Because we so used to catch a case, fuck it, how much time I got? Mm-hmm. I'll take it. He was on some catch a case, hold on, get a lawyer, dance right around this shit, nigga. Move that, drop it, fuck out of here. Huh? Yeah, that's how white folks do it. Man, I didn't know that.
You played me a song that you told me, Big, you got to hear this one. And you could have said anything in the world about Suge. But the song, that, as I remember, was you paying accolades and
it's called Let Bygones Be Bygones.
Why was it important to write that?
Because I love that man. He changed my life. And it gets overshadowed by the negative energy that was projected by him and the stupid shit he did when he was on the streets and just the picture that they paint as far as half the man. But if you know the whole man, it was more greatness in him than anything. He just didn't have a chance to highlight that.
And turn the corner.
Yeah, exactly.
Were you ever afraid of being on death row sometimes?
Never. I was afraid when I wasn't on death row.
Right, right. Explain.
Because it was death threats. It was like shit where they was coming to get at me. It was like, it was animosity. They was bitter. You lose your biggest star, Dr. Dre. And then you lose your second biggest star, Tupac. And then you lose your biggest star that's actually there with you that helped officially create this shit, Snoop Dogg.
Were you scared for your life, dog?
Definitely.
Did it ever get extremely dangerous for you?
Yep. I had to go see Minister Farrakhan and let him put them boys on me. You know what I'm saying? The Nation of Islam, Fruit of Islam. Put that power around me. Help me do what I got to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I love about Minister Farrakhan, that he played team ball. He for us. You know what I'm saying? We got to have somebody that's for us. You got everybody against us. Who the fuck is for us?
Did it seem worth it at the time? Were you ever thinking about walking away from the so-called business?
Man, please. This is shit I was born to do. This is what I'm going to live for. I ain't going to die for it, but this is what I'm going to live for.
I hear you. That's the only thing that ever stopped me is death. And even then, my music will live forever.
It seems my main thing was to be made to pay the game stronger than the motherfucking raise the blade. Save money, bring business, bring the green line. One nigga get you jealous, this motherfucker die. Depend on me like the first and 50. They might only put a second fucking smoke on me.
How did you meet Pac?
I had a homegirl named Samara. She was like the bud lady. She was working on the movie Poetic Justice, and it was a rap party. We go outside and Laylaw from a bud of law. It's my nigga to this day. Laylaw like, Snoop, it's Pac, Snoop. Nigga, Pac have a cigar, and he split that motherfucking gutted, and he fill it up with weed. I'm like, what this nigga doing? And he licked that motherfucking lighted. I'm like, what's that, cuz? He said, oh, that's it's a Philly blunt. If you want to hit it, boom. I hit the motherfucker. That motherfucker damn near blow my whole chest out. But it's some bullshit weed.
Right.
I'm like, oh, no. Pull this joint out for you, nigga.
You had never smoked a blunt before
that? Never.
So your first blunt was with Tupac.
Off top. I'm the reason why he on death row. Yeah. I told Suge to go get cuz. I told Suge go get cuz.
Let me rewind you there. Pac is already established. Pac, you know, catches his case. Everybody that should have got Pac out didn't get him out. You know what I'm saying? So history is written that Suge goes and get Tupac out of out of prison, which he did.
Right.
But that was on a Snoop Dogg call.
Suge was told by Snoop Dogg, Cub, we need to get Cuz and put him on our team. We're hearing bad shit about him behind the wall, and we don't have no proof on whether it's real or not. But what we do know is you powerful, and we got great attorneys. And there's some way that the system will be able to move for us to get him out of there and get him with us. We need him with us because our team is the shit. But I think like LeBron, like what can make us better?
Mm-hmm.
This motherfucker Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. Oh, yeah. Go get him.
Just with Pac and Biggie, right?
Yeah, man.
Marlon, that's you in the corner right there?
I know a little bit of history.
I never, as many times I've seen this picture,
that's
bro.
That's me. I was there that night because I went, Pac had did Above the Rim, and I went down there to hang out with Pac, and Big was there, and they performed together, Party and BS. And
was that in New York at the kitchen?
No, that was Glam Slam, downtown Prince's Club. Pac was out here. Big was out here performing. This is before Big blew up,
yeah.
And Pac was already on the rise because, you know, he did Juice and Above the Rim. And so Pac was like a friend of mine because we was cool through Jada and through Omar. So we all share collective friends. So I went down that night to hang out with them, and they performed, and that's right before they started, a couple of years later, they started beefing. So
right.
It was like, it was crazier than that. I saw Biggie 20 minutes before he got shot.
You were at Peterson that night?
Yeah. I was on the trap, on the escalator coming down. He goes, yo, I love what you and your family's doing. Keep doing it. I love y'all. Keep rocking. I love y'all. He was like, I'm a fan. I was like, I love you, man. I gave him a hug. I was like, I'm a fan of yours, man. You that dude. And 20 minutes later, bop, bop, bop.
What was it like recording with Pac?
You want to really know?
Yeah.
Man, you talking about somebody that can really blow cannabis?
Oh, really? Oh.
Rolling it up.
Man, I'm talking about nonstop. Like, once he finished with one, he already rolled. When he halfway through, one of his partners or whoever in there, they rolling. You know
like
what I'm saying? He stayed smoking broccoli, man. That was his thing, but it kept him functional, and he was so gamed up, and he write in 15 minutes. He'll write a whole song in 15 minutes. I know he wrote that verse that we did on Dusted Discussing in about probably 10 minutes.
Wow.
And drinking Hennessy and smoking a little. And it's like, you know what I'm saying? Incredible, man. You got to realize the man passed away at 25. He did so much in so little time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Did you feel like you weren't going to have Pac for long? You know, there's just some people, like, I've had some people in my life, man, like a partner of mine, where I knew that the times that we were having were special.
Yeah.
And I just felt like I wasn't going to have him for long.
I couldn't determine the future, but I'll tell you what he did tell me one time. We was on my last time seeing him was 1996. We was on my trailer shooting the video to Rapper's Ball.
Mm-hmm.
But he was on the trailer with us. He played a lot of his records. He played a lot of Mac. I say, man, yeah, man, one of my handles, they calling me now, is Fonzarelli. And he was like, yeah, well, you know, hey, Foley, that's a good one, man. I'm Machiavelli.
Mm.
Then he started breaking down with it, you know what I mean? Like, and then he played songs, and he was like, man, 40, look, he said he got a record. He said he had records for when he died. He told me this on Everything I Love on the Bible. He said, I got records for when I die. It was just kind of shocking to me because I wasn't really – expecting it, but I see what he's saying now, though.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it's good to have some records when, you know, be just on deck in the system, period.
Did it sound...
In the computer or on the hard drive, like, you know what I'm talking about? But at the
when
time,
he said,
it was shocking
I have records
to me.
For when I die.
Yeah.
Was it an impact then or when you look back at it?
Impact then. It was catchy. It was heavy to me then. I talked to my manager, Chaz, at the time, man. Shout out to Chaz. But it was like, damn, man. We was like, you heard what he said? Like, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And, man, to be honest with you, that was the last time I seen him.
Damn.
Plain and simple. When we see each other, we going to see each other. Until then, I'm going to make good music, and he going to make whatever he makes. You know what I'm saying?
I ain't want to fuck that fat bitch no way. But you know that's the secret to war. He my enemy, so she looked alright.
Were you ever concerned with Pac, how much Pac became Death Row?
In the beginning, never.
Mm-hmm.
after I seen him jump on that side, I was concerned because being neutral was the best shit for him. To pick a side mean you picked a side. Now you're taking on all of their enemies. Mm-hmm. When you're born in it, it becomes stripes, and it becomes what you do to struggle to get to the top. When you're not born in it, you're taking on unnecessary beefs, and you're taking on unwanted mm-hmm. shit. So him being neutral in the beginning was amazing. And then him choosing sides at the end was a demise because you picked a side. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't have
Did
to pick a side.
Did you ever talk to him about it, or you just saw it and you felt like he probably wouldn't listen?
Man, Pac was a military-minded motherfucker, so he would always, like, he always had a plan. Like, if you knew him, he knew he wasn't going to be with us long.
Right.
Like, and he always had a train of thought.
Do you think that's why he works like that, too?
Definitely. But his train of thought was military. Like, it became one point that he had, me and him had a meeting, like, on some real military shit where it was like, nigga, this the new rule. This him telling me, nigga, this the new rule. Nigga, I talk to you, you talk to me. Your soldiers don't talk to me, nigga, and my soldiers don't talk to you. You understood? All right, I got it. Like, that's how he talking to me. Like, we the same age and all
yeah,
this shit,
yeah.
but he hit me with military shit.
Then I saw Tupac 20 minutes before he got shot. I saw Pac, we was leaving the Luxor Hotel, and Pac was out there, and he was with his gang of people, and I was like, yo, what's up, Pac? From a distance.
Right.
And Omar, this, you know, dark-skinned niggas got a lot of courage.
Right.
He was like, we going to go over and say what's up. I was like, well, he can see us from here.
Yeah. Death Row.
You know, Sugar Knight's with him. And
yeah.
I don't want to disturb right. Sugar Knight.
Right.
All the guys in red. You know, I see the red people alone. I'm a little angry. How about let's get in this nice cab over here. This is before Uber.
Yeah.
And so Pop, Omar's like, nah, we got to go, you know, pay some respects, you know what I'm saying, show our love.
Well, we don't have to. We, right, we have our friendship to deal with.
let's beep them. You know what I'm saying? Right.
Well, we don't have room in the cab. It only fits three comfortably in the back. And so we went over there, and we talked for a second.
Did he greet you any different?
Loved us, man. We loved him. He always acknowledged me, man, because we laughed. There was a part of Pac that was so funny.
Yeah, man.
Everybody always seen one side of him. I know the dimensions, you know, the spiritual. Pac was a leader. That dude was so beyond his years. And he was funny.
Mm-hmm.
If Pac did anything, he was funny. He was a good dude. He always had to be the life of the party. If you told a joke, he coming off top. It was, you know, he was always fun. And what we all had in common, me, Jada, Pac, Omar, well, we were performing arts high schools, kids from the ghetto.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we knew all the thugs. We knew all the gangsters, but we were in the schools trying to get out the hood a different way. And we just had a great collective union.
I say a week before he died, we was best of friends. 2 days before he died, I don't think he liked me.
Why?
Because we was in New York.
Oh, yeah.
And shit had happened. New York niggas, they shot at me and did all kind of shit to me, like just the worst shit you could think of. And I forgave them and went and did an interview and was asked, how do I feel about Puffy and Biggie? And I was like, I like them niggas. I want to do some music with them. And I just rubbed cuz the wrong way, like, nigga, fuck them niggas. Them niggas tried to kill me. Niggas shot at you. And you tell me what, you want to do a song with them niggas? I wasn't thinking about his emotions. I was thinking about the way I felt at the time. Mm-hmm. I wasn't into no controversy. I liked them niggas' music. They was our friends. We was all friends at one point. There's video footage of all of us hanging out. Pac, Biggie, Puff, Suge, all of us together prior to Death Row. Just on some regular shit. So that to me, I never seen myself getting involved. Even when he played the video for me to hit him up. Even when he played Hit Him Up the song, I didn't like the song.
Did you feel like it was too
much? I didn't like
it.
Right. I didn't like this shit. Like, it wasn't like the shit to me. Like, it was you buying more problems, cuz. Like, you're buying problems. Gangsters is everywhere. Mm-hmm. They make them everywhere. And I think when he got with us, he got to the mind state that We the motherfuckers.
Yeah.
And ain't nobody like us. Always people like us everywhere. Everywhere.
So you say a week before, best of friends, 2 days
best
before.
Best of friends. Like we was in New York doing the award show and laughing and my hair perm. Yeah. He got me this motherfucking Hugo Boss suit and had me on some European shit. My pants was fitting tight. And he had a nigga on some other shit. Like, nigga, let me dress you. Nigga, get you right. Suit by Dion Scott. I'm on some other shit with my nigga. Like, okay. But when we hit New York, he go gangster. He like on some stupid gangster shit. Like, but I'm on some player shit. I've been here before. New York lost Snoop Dogg. We good. But he on some, like, them niggas tried to kill me and no, fuck that.
Like, when we had got hit with Hit 'Em Up, I had to make the call of Biggie. I said, we not going to respond. Somebody's going to get hurt if we respond, you know. And so, I don't know what's going to happen with it, but, you know, I could understand that perspective because Tupac hit us with Hit 'Em Up, and that joint was cold. You know what I'm saying? I was listening to that. You know, we were actually, like throwing people's turntables. A DJ would play that. We would just end the party and just take that off. No, we would take the turntable. We would take your turntables. You played Hit 'Em Up. You know what I'm saying? That's how cold that thing hurt to this day. You know what I'm saying? And then when Jay-Z, I know Jay-Z and Nas, they friends, but if you hear Issa coming out the joint, I still feel a way. I mean, I never felt a way with Hit 'Em Up. You know what I'm saying? I never felt away with it because I really laughed at it the way I was portrayed in the video. I saw the fun in it, but you know, I'm not gonna play it at my birthday party.
Right? Yeah.
Did he ever say that he wasn't fucking with you, or you just felt it after the Angie Martinez interview?
After Angie Martinez interview, we go back to the hotel. So my Uncle Rio, he in the lobby, and my dad is up in my room. So my Uncle Rio come back up to my room. He like, man, Tupac and them is on some bullshit, man. They down there talking shit and blah, 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 blah. I'm like, talking shit? I'm like, man, I ain't listening to that. What you talking about, huh? So my phone ring to my room. Bruh, it's Muta, one of the outlaws. Pac said, give him an ounce of weed. And hang up. Well, that ain't gonna happen. 15 minutes go by, he called back. Hey, Pac said, hey, nigga, tell Pac to call. Pop call. Hey, I need an ounce of weed. Just hang up. So I send the weed. No communication. Don't say nothing to me. So now we flying back to L.A. the next day. So normally I got two security with me that fly on a private plane. What is Suge got his homies, Pop got his security. We get to the private plane, and Suge like, they can't go.
Your security.
They can't go. Security like, all right, well, come on with us, dog. I'm like, nah. I'm going to stay down. I'm going to ride with them. Like, this is either the moment you niggas going to kill me, but we're going to get some clarity in this air. Mm-hmm. We got a 5.5-hour flight. I ain't got no security. You niggas ain't feeling me right now. This is how my life is based anyway.
Did you feel like Suge felt the same way?
I felt like they were fueling each other's fire. Mm-hmm. Like they was tit for tat. Like nobody would put water. Mm-hmm. Like instead of Suge saying, no, hold on, nigga, that's
you.
You know, they was fire for fire. So when I get on the plane, after they say my security came wrong, Pac right here, another nigga right here. So I walk on. Nigga don't say nothing to me. So I sit down and I'm like, they still don't say nothing to me. Now we finna take off. I'm like, all right, I see what's finna happen. I've been around these niggas. I know how they get down. I grab me a knife and a fork, get my blanket, put my blanket over my eyes to like they right up under here. 5.5 hours like this. Sitting in the back of the plane, all the way in the back. I'm the last seat. So, nigga, if somebody gonna get killed. Nigga, if I'm gonna get killed, somebody dying with me. I'm just my back against the wall. 5.5 hours. Nobody say one word to me. Not one fucking word. As soon as we land, they roll the little stairs down. All them niggas go out first. My Rolls Royce right here. Pac Rolls Royce right here. go down the stairs. Pop go down. I go down. I'm like, Pop, you going to Vegas to the fight, cuz? And they're like, that's the last thing I remember from cuz. Him doing me like this.
And he was on his way to Vegas.
Yep.
You know, so we went over, say Pop, say bye to Pop, you know, give him love. And we got in a cab, and the way Pac was looking, his BMW pulled up, and I seen him looking at us like there was this look in his eyes like, man, I want to be with them. That looks fun.
And the next time I seen him, he was laying in the hospital.
Gunshots on corner of Colville and Flamingo. Did you see anybody?
No. Tupac Shakur is in critical condition after two rounds of surgery in Las Vegas.
Shakur was shot four times after leaving the Mike Tyson boxing match in a car driven by Marion Suge Knight.
When a white Cadillac pulled alongside and one of the four men inside it opened fire.
Doctors say he will survive his second shooting in 2 years.
Early in the week, doctors rated Tupac's chances of survival at 1 in 5.
But he couldn't survive a second. Rap star Tupac Shakur died last night after a brief life in a rough business. He was 25.
If you knew who killed Tupac, would you tell the police?
Absolutely not.
The beef that didn't make it through was Pac and Big.
Yeah.
I wasn't really prepared for that, you know, like somebody actually dying, you know. And they didn't really die because of that beef. They died because of extenuating circumstances. But, you know, nobody wants somebody to die.
Right.
You know, like this ain't, we ain't gangbanging. We not out here, you know, you killed my friend, I'm going to kill you. It's different. So, yeah, that really hit me. And I was in New York, and I think after that, the East and the West spent a lot of time trying to just show unity. Mm-hmm. I did a show on the radio called One Nation with Lisa Evers, mm-hmm. and they would put us on East Coast and West Coast back in the days, and we would talk.
I remember that.
Yeah, to try to bring the tension down.
I think we were playing a video game at Warren G's house, and pages was blowing up and phones were blowing up. And they was like, put it on the news. We put it on the news. And we seen Suge car and the yellow tape. So I made the phone call. I called Suge personally. That nigga answered the phone. And the way he was talking, it was like Pac was going to live. Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, they just, you know, they grazed me in the head. You know, he all right, my nigga, all right. You know, he been up, you know what I'm saying? He down right now. He been up and up. Man, come on out here, dog. So I jumped right on the highway in the motherfucking the Hummer.
I was at the house when they called me and said he got shot and he in the hospital. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, oh, man, wow. You know, and I know he had been shot before. He, you know, we all know, you know, Pac a tough dude. So he was a tough dude. So I'm like, oh, maybe he'll make it.
Right,
you know,
yeah,
what I mean?
Because we all thought he'd get through this.
Yeah, and then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, how many days go by? Then when I heard about it, then when they say he's gone, and they're playing all the songs. Me and my young son. It was Lil Earl.
Mm-hmm.
Droopy. I'm sitting on the bed. I stayed in Fairfield at the time, and Droopy was like, "What happened?" I say, "My friend gone. He just died." He say, "Well, why he die?" You know, Droopy had a little small little voice and whatnot, but it was a trip though. It was touching, man. I couldn't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't believe it. But I know one thing. The positive thing about it is, you know, he loved God,
mm-hmm.
and I think that, you know, he might have had that situation where, you know, you got the devil over here saying, well, I can keep you living if you want me to, you know what I'm saying? Or, you know, hey, you come up here to heaven. I don't know, maybe I'm taking it too far, but I know he chose heaven.
Right.
That's why he went on ahead and just take me, God.
Yeah, man.
But I was supposed to join those guys. I wanted to hang out with them.
Really, though?
For, yeah.
You were going to hang out with them that night?
Yeah.
But you didn't even hang that night.
No, no.
I heard that. So when you get the call, the days that Tupac was in the hospital, did you try to go?
And they wouldn't let nobody go up there.
I heard that, man. And what about when you actually got the news that Tupac had passed? Do you remember where you were, or just
I was
moment?
Home. I was in my house, and I was like everyone else. It was just overwhelming, you know.
And
we lost somebody special. We lost somebody that was pretty reckless, but the world still loved him.
Right.
He was just a human being. We all have people in our family who just pushed the envelope a little too damn far.
Right.
You know, and we got to keep an eye on them, but, you know, we still loved them.
Hey, Mike, and knowing Tupac, and I knew Pac also, you know how there's some cats you're like, man, if he would have just, people didn't know how intelligent he was, or do you think that if he would have, like, man, if he would have just made it out of that, like, that was would have been a small portion of his life. Like, there was a portion of your life, if you would have passed during that time, we would have never seen the Mike Tyson that evolved after. Do you feel like you wish, of course with life, but do you feel like people could have seen the part of Pac that you've seen and what could have become of Tupac?
Well, listen, we all have our own relationship with God, our personal relationship with God, and when he calls, we go.
Right.
That's just what it is. You know, I'm not clairvoyant. I can't see the future, but we all know Tupac was special. Maybe his anger or something was misguided, but we know it all meant well.
Mm-hmm.
And go out there to see him. And when I see him, Jesse Jackson, his mom and all them there, and his mama, she pulled me to the side. And that's when I knew it was bad, because she tells me to be strong and all this shit. I'm like, so I go in the room with him. He laid up. And I just get right on the side of his head and just start talking to him in his ear. Just talking to him. I don't even know what the fuck I was saying, but it was something to the effect of, like, I love you and I hope I didn't make you mad from the shit I did. I just thought I was doing what was right. And it was some other shit, cuz. Then as soon as I walked out of there, I went in the bathroom and I threw up. Just laid on the floor for like 30 minutes. His mama came in there and cleaned me up. His mama came in there and cleaned me up and got me back right. Like, I'm like, she is a hell of a lady, man.
And Pac, he lives for about 7 days. But did you know at that moment or early on that Pac wasn't going to make it?
No. That's Superman, because I thought he was coming out of that.
We seen it before.
I watched him do it before. So I was like, he'll be all right. He's going to come out of it. And it's just crazy that the shit went down like that. Like I explained to you, that last seven days was like a roller coaster. Because it was filled with so much happiness. And then it went. That shit broke my heart.
Do you think you got closure when you spoke to Pac in his ear? Do you feel it?
I think I had closure when he was alive.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
I just think that he just wasn't thinking rational. If you know him, he was a loving, caring person.
Yeah.
We just caught up. I was fighting a murder case, and he was out on bail from his case. So naturally, we look like America's Most Wanted.
Two of America's Most Wanted.
And if we beat it, we supposed to still be, fuck the law and fuck y'all in this gangbang. But my train of thought was, man, I ain't playing with them no more.
Mm-hmm. I almost lost it all.
I've been dealing with this my whole life. They don't play with shit like this. I'm cool. I'm going to find a new leaf to turn. I'm the dog father now.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't the young gangbanging, riding. I'm the dog father, meaning that I'm the godfather, meaning that I'm going to send a nigga.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to play the boss role
right
now. Everybody wasn't with that. They wanted me to still be on the front line. Machiavelli, all eyes on me. He front lining. I backed up. When he got on, we was frontlining. Now I'm backing up. I'm double dutching. Because I got a baby.
Yeah.
I got a wife.
Yeah.
Shit you don't got.
Right.
What shit to live for.
What does family mean to you, dog?
All the reason to live.
Mm-hmm.
Family is everything. It's all the reason to live, to fight, to struggle, to want to do right. And, you know, I say that to say this, that Pac didn't have much of that. So his extended family was death row.
Right.
So, and as a grown man, you basically make your own decision. As a kid, you could be led into decisions. So he was grown, so we made the decision to follow death row. And at the same time, death row was great when we was bad at giving advice.
Right.
Bad.
Things just ain't the same for gangsters. Times are changing. Young niggas is aging. Becoming OGs in the game and changing to make way for these new names and faces. But the strangest things can happen from rapping when niggas get wrapped up in image and acting.
Niggas get capped up and wrapped in plastic, zipped up in bags when it happens, that's it. I've seen them come, I've watched them go, watched them rise, witnessed them, watched them blow. Watch them all blossom and watch them grow. Watch the lawsuits and they lost the dough. Best friends and money, I lost them both. Went and visited niggas in the hospital. It's all the same shit all across the globe. I just sit back and watch the show.
Watch everywhere that I go, ain't the same as
good, you blame me. Niggas ain't mainly it, niggas they can't be. But niggas can't hit, niggas they can't see. I'm out of sight, now I'm out of they dang reach. How would you feel if niggas wanted you killed? You probably move to a new house on a new hill and choose a new spot if niggas wanted you shot. I ain't a thug, how much Tupac in you you got? I ain't no bitch neither. It's either my life or your life, and I ain't leaving. I like breathing. Nigga, we can go round for round, clip for clip, shit, 4 pound for pound. Nigga, if you really wanna take it there, we can. Just remember that you fucking with a family man. I got a lot more to lose than you. Remember that when you wanna come and fill these shoes.
Watch everywhere that I go.
This ain't the same for gangsters. Cops is anxious to put niggas in handcuffs. They wanna hang us, see us dead or enslave us. Keep us trapped in the same place we raised in. Then they wonder why we act so outrageous. Run around stressed out and pull out gauges. Cause every time you let the animal out cages, it's dangerous to people who look like strangers. But now we got a new era of gangsters, hustlers and youngsters living amongst us. Looking at us now, calling us busters. Can't help but reminisce back when it was us. Nigga, we started this gangster shit. And this the motherfucking thanks I get. It's funny how time flies. I'm just having fun, just watching it fly by.
Watch everywhere that I go.
Hey, let's take it back.
Yo, man, what you need?
Yo, man, I need something, man. I need a 20, man.
And what you got, man?
I got this rope chain, man.
Yo, man, this shit look like that gold man? On the road shit from the squat,
man. It's real, man.
This
real.
Shit ain't real, man. Be cool, man. Get the fuck out of here and come back with some money, man.
Come on, man. Be cool, man.
Y'all Mexicans always come with this shit.
Somebody get
believe this shit. This bitch is trying to gank me. Yo, I'll slap inside your head with 9 inches of lip dick.
You need a nigga with money so you get a dope man. Cause the dope man hit her. Let that slide and you pay it no mind. Fine that he's slapping you all the time. But that's okay, cause he's so rich. And you ain't nothing but a dope man bitch. Do what he say and you keep your mouth shut. Popping that track might get you fucked up. We'll sit and cry as the dope man strike you. He don't give a fuck, he got two just like you. There's another girl as the dope man's life. Not quite a bitch, but far from a wife. She called a star. On the dope man's dick. Strawberry, just look and you'll see her. But don't fuck around, she'll give you gonorrhea. And people out there not hip to the fact that Strawberry is a girl selling pussy for crack to the
dope man, dope man.
Yo, man, I don't think they heard you. Won't you tell them what your name is?
My name is Easy, yeah, this is true. Keeping your attention is what I'm gonna do. Hardcore, yo, I can never be soft. Acting on my destiny, say the boy goes off. Building up momentum with a touch of my rhyme. Suckers to stay away because, yo, they know the time. Quiet on the seconds, I'm about to begin. And if you didn't hear me, boy, I'll tell you again. My name is Easy, or just call me E.
But it doesn't really matter to me, cause I'm the same person, whether serious or rehearsing. I just gotta keep cursing. This is for the radio, so I better chill. They won't play it if I go get ill, but I'm like that, and that's an actual fact. Because the street is where my heart is at. Yo, I don't do dope, but I'm dope. Not a dope, but I'm doper than anybody who tries to cope with the rhyme I'm displaying and the beat that's playing. Yo, you can try all day and you still won't match up with the ruthless pile, cause these are doing it Compton style. That's the city, and you say you could give some. Yo, it's easier said than done. Get my point across, so listen up close. If you don't, you might get lost. I'm not a role model or a doctor, suit. Yo, I'm a gangster, and I'm about to get stupid. I guess it's time for the trauma, with the E-A-G-Y-E comma, and that's drama. So pay attention, by the way, I must mention, I'm coming off hard in the third dimension with the glass, but you don't need no glasses to stare. This pocket tape in, and it's just like you're there with the E on the gangster tip. So if you think I'm a flip, a flip, don't even trip, cause I'm a destroyer. My homie Dre is a doctor, not a lawyer. Dope MC employer, own ruthless, and that's my label. We get the money, the women, and cold bust the fat tables, boy. Master Rhyme is a toy. I'm eating steak while you're sucking with the girls enjoy. You must be sick, or you're lonely. How you gonna diss me, you don't even know me? Yo, Ren,
what's up?
Get the gas, show them where it's at. And that's just the sound, next time I'm filling your gaps to let you know where I'm coming from. Easy said it, and it shall be done. Cycle. Easier said than done, yeah, that's the title. Loving the ladies, only the fly ones, you know.
But what if she's ugly?
Easy come, easy go. Don't ask to battle me, homeboy, what's that? You wanna battle me, boy, you better be strapped. Cause where I'm from, it ain't about all that playing. Now that's what I'm saying. Said before that I was born in 73. Now everybody wants to know the A-G-E. Girls on the tip, fellas too, it seemed. Had everybody thinking I was only 15. The fellas were annoying me, the ladies were enjoying me. What was I to do? I wish they let the ladies through. Cause the ladies, I love them nice, tender, and soft. I hate male groupies, so just set the hell off. I'm the real easy, the others be faking. Trying to gain fame off the name I'm making. Saying on your records you could get some. Yo, homeboy, it's easier said than done.
Alright, here we go. 3, 2, 1. Oi, oi. What's upper? This is DJ Nastiness, the original Crazy Pinoy, Filipino word. And you're tuned into the G. Lou Show on West Side Wednesdays.
No, I got miss out on the G-Funk era. You don't know I said things are going for Warren G. Him soon turned superstar.
11-10-70, that was my intro. But now we're 94, I'm rolling up 6-4. Cause things get shady where the grass is greener. Niggas throwing up sets and hoods like they never seen her. Young Mac Daddy do his thing cause I pack right. I got 44 ways to make you act right. And it's a shame how the game must be played. It was told never fold by the niggas you can't fade. So raise up off this young hog. Cause I heard you punkin' some, but you can't punk me, dawg. I got my own thing cause I let my nuts hang. If you wanna bring it on, no pain. No game. So as I creep, can you peep what I speak? Technique's unique, so what you're saying is obsolete. So there it is, as I go about my days, I can only bring it to you like this, in so many ways.
The formies are bad-minded, cannot take them to no friend. You should have illegal, cause I borrow them, no borrow, but I lend them, never lend. You should have illegal.
Hey, 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 this is Warren G, you know.
And I was in Baghdad before these little youngsters was in they daddy bag, you know? Yeah, they in violation when he out, so hound.
It's all plain and simple, I roll just to serve a lifetime with my niggas. Idiotic fools can't figure the way I display, or should I say more than that? It's crucial when I name how many niggas got my back. Never lack the skills when it's time to handle mine. You can front if you wanna, but you still know the time. I'm that nigga that they call Wayne Yak.
What that mean?
I'm that nigga staying down for the home team. So if you didn't know, let me slow your road. This pro is on the go with some shit you ain't heard before. So recognize game in your face, a touch of the bass, then I'm gone without a trace.
Deep on Warren G, right where I go. Put your front front line, hit shoulder illegal.
And so many
shoulder illegal.
And so many
ways. Don't make comfy drop the dime. Fire your outfit, serve it time. Hit shoulder illegal.
And so many
shoulder illegal.
I stay true to the game, but some stay blind to the fact that if I don't look good, you don't look good. So please rearrange and change the shit you're doing. You're fucking yourself, cause you the one getting screwed as I ease on down the brick road as I shift from first to second to cruise control. So blaze up the Buddha, cause I got the drink, and don't think we don't roll without a full tank of that bomb ass shit called the funk. Cause I am the G and the funk is what you want. Now let's take a trip to the other side of town. Niggas flip flop and they never stay down. Wanna be all they can be but getting held back. Uh-huh. Trying to take what is mine, what type of shit is that? So this is for the homies, stay down for your pay. I can only bring it to you like this, in so many ways.
The poor is hard-minded, try not to take them to your friend. And should I illegal,
in so many ways.
Should I illegal,
in so many ways.
Cause I borrow them, long borrow, what I lend them, never lend. And should I illegal,
in so many ways.
Should I illegal,
in so many ways.
I'm ready for this shit, you know what I'm talking about?
I made it to the point now, a motherfucker from Missoula, Montana could tell you more about the hood than a nigga from the hood. Feel me? Could tell you about some Crippin' and Blood more than the niggas that's in that lifestyle. Because they got it under a microscope. They so fascinated, and it's so much of a phenomenon to them, and it's so entertaining to see us kill each other, and it's so exciting to them that, you know, they got it under a microscope. They damn near study everything a nigga do, from a nigga walk to a nigga talk to type of music we do. And I ain't talking about black and white, I'm just talking about, you know, street and non-street, like, you know, guttering suburb, you know what I mean, like, just have not and have, you feel what I'm saying? So it ain't, I'm not just on black and white, you know what I mean, but it's a lot of that too. But like you said, it's just like everything else. Africa was full of natural resources, but they do all the diamonds, they came and got it. All the gold, they came and got it. All the niggas, they came and got it. You know what I mean? It's the continent is raped of all its resources. So, you know what I mean? I guess the word they call it is colonialism, when they come and colonize your land and take the resources.
Hey, nigga, just thought you was a regular gangbanger.
Yeah, you know, I'm
using words like that.
We said it earlier. Like, I educated myself. I at one point I was ignorant and lost, but like, you got to know yourself before you do anything, before you can make a record. Before you can have an opinion, you gotta know yourself. So, you know, the same thing going on with rap music, the same thing going on with all of our culture, whether it's gang banging, whether it's trapping down south, whether it's hip hop, whatever it is. Like, you know, if a motherfucker see it as an asset or as a resource, we don't got no means to go get it. You know what I mean? Other than our little pistols and handguns, we got in choppers and all that. These niggas got millions of dollars, institutions set up, like the LAPD. Like the feds, like the FBI, all this is they army. And they army make it to where you can inflict your will. Meaning if a motherfucker don't want to do it from an agreement, you can come take it. If a nigga don't want to agree and do it verbally, well, you got an army to come enforce your will. So we that's what we lack. You know what I mean? We don't have no army that's going to come protect our natural resources because our shit is divided. How, you know what I'm saying? We don't even understand how we connected because, oh, you a blood. I'm from 60s. Fuck you. Or You from Hoover, I'm from 60s, fuck you. Or you from A-Tray, I'm from 60s, fuck you. And that's a fucked up mentality to have. But that's the culture of where we come from. To where...
benefactor, bro. I ain't on your page, and I don't age like Dracula. Per capita, yeah, I hated some and love some. I'm the one your favorite West Coast rapper got the dub from in white t-shirts. Fitting tight around her neck, go do the right research. And nigga, you might wanna check about this east side pedigree. Who do it better than me? Blue and red and black and brown unity, setting us free from mental slavery genocide. Every time you finna ride against your own damn people, brother Cam, he been a guy. Back to the right path, do the black and white math. Who the man been risking his neck for his brother like Shaft? Protection for the sisters and the brethren in that east side Watts and Compton section. I'm a legend. Yeah.
But I won't
cause I'm a big deal where I'm from. My whole city proud of what I become.
My
brothers
and my family,
they're
gonna play around.
So you good,
on God.
Get it.
Definition of a legend.
A genius. Giant. Luminary. Phenomenon.
Look.
Like Nipsey the Great.
Hey man, I'm Westy as they come, straight up out of Compton, where they get that flag hanging and that gang banging from. Not the legend of Zelda, but like the legend of Mahalia Jackson. G'd up for y'all satisfaction.
Yeah. Hey, chill, let these niggas know the real.
Like niggas on the block getting they started cap kill. This was back in the day. Thunderbird, Kool-Aid, Ben Davis was the latest in the fresh ball fade. Now I push a navigator up the block. Life for success from a world of cooked up rocks. Strawberry club bitches sucking cocks. I'm a California classic like classic Reeboks.
Yeah, Cortez on my feet for the street. Letting niggas know I got heat so don't tweak. I got food for thought like Uber Eats. 6x9s on a silver blue elite. The Minotaur, roam amongst the elite.
Yeah.
We just legends, live it, love it, pledge it. This is what I'm pledging. Coming from the section where nobody respected it until we made them respect it.
Make them come up out that necklace. Went from living reckless to a West Coast legend.
Microphone check it. And now we all grown, we'll smash on our own.
We a big deal where we from. The whole state proud of what we become.
Right. We a big deal where we from. The whole land proud of what we become. Yeah. Watts. Compton. Los Angeles. In the building. South Central. You hear me? All the surrounding hoods. You know what? This is what it's about. It's time to give respect where respect is due. You understand me? Legends. Do you got any legends from your town? From where you from? Well, give them some respect, my nigga.
Rest up, Kobe.
Hey!
What's up, cuz?
Well, give me one of them OEs, cuz.
Where they at?
In the refrigerator, fool.
Alright, turn the radio off for me.
Alright.
A ticker, ticker, ticker. Haha, Julio G. Motherfuckers represent Westside Radio to the fullest. B-I-N. Let's get into this.
With double balls, cuz.
That's right, baby. The boys up in here. Two turntables, two Mexicans, and a bunch of blunts and bitches.
Slow jamming with Kevin, slow jamming James. Yeah, I love my slow jams. I love that gangster shit too.
Make sure to tune in to OG Sunday, Westside Wednesday. My comrade G. Lou is going down. His request number is 914-803-4001. Listen to him live. Listen to me live at 347-855-8436. You want to know about my life, my experience, my progression? Hit me up on tweetcadillac.com.
1990 motherfucking one. NWA back in this motherfucker, yo. Taking out all you commercialized ass niggas. And we on this laid back track. And we doing this one kinda smooth. So what you gonna do, Drake? Kick it.
And so on, let the shit flow on. Because I need something to go off on. The motherfucking GRE serving a death wish. So I'ma hit you like this. Early in the morning, hopping to the B&Z. I got 44 ways to get paid. Sitting in my lap as I roll up the Compton blocks. The scoop up ran, I heard shots. 1, 2, 3. Then I seen a nigga hop in the fence and it was ran on the motherfucking trigger. He got in the Benz and said, Ray, I was speaking to your bitch O'Shea. And as we roll on, I seen the patrol on creep. So we got ghosts before they beat me and ran in a black CT. Yo, humping some funky shit by the DOC. I gotta get paid, paid in a hurry. See, I gotta have it if I'm not paid thoroughly. I start taking, making sure my shit is steady bumping. A nigga always in the song.
Fuck them motherfucking police, cause they swear that they're locked down and them kick them in this motherfucking ball. Goddamn police, fuck them. Come down, them Siren.
I heard a dope beat. Somebody told me that Buck did it, but if Dre didn't do it, I can't fuck with it. N.W.A. is like a mix of fix the trick, real niggas with big dicks. You're taking a chance when you think that talking under your breath won't lead to young death. Fucking up shit ain't shit but a killing for a nigga labeled as being a motherfucking villain. But you don't know me, a record can't tell ya how so many prayed I'd be a motherfucking failure. Real niggas gotta have top ranking. I hooked up with 3 more niggas and started making funky ass shit for your system. Might sound nice so it makes you wanna listen to them. Sample of a ruthless organization, but you don't want a confrontation. Real niggas don't play. Yellow Easy Me and the nigga Dre. Yo, always making sure that my shit is steady pumping. A nigga always into something.
Walking on the motherfucking street. Don't you know the odds know why to hold my dick and then because that bitch's booty is so nasty.
Yeah, the world's most dangerous group definitely in this motherfucker. Sending a shout out to all the bitches out there. Yo, you can get in the pickup and suck your dick up to your hiccup. You know what I'm saying? Yo, cause I'm a nigga for life and I really don't give a fuck. I'm going for mine every time I see a fucking saucy, funk strong as coffee. A nigga like that best to back up off me. Yo, cause these are the days and the times of the real nigga, false nigga, and of the toss nigga. And that's on the real, cause I'm a nigga that kills again and again. So tell him what's up, Ren.
If I'm not into nothing, I don't feel right. So I grab the 9 and the clip and go and murder motherfuckers at night. Because I sought to fiend for fitting in a cell where the crime was too tragic and couldn't make bail. So now they gotta hold me and listen to rehabilitation over and over. Damn, they told me, but I don't give a fuck cause I know my shit is pumping. A nigga always in the something. 1991 and NWA get the job done. Admiral Dancehall gonna sing this little tale about a girl that quickly licked me dick. It goes something like this: the girl could be licking a dick, the girl could be licking a dick, the girl could be licking a dick. She got the dirty outfit, the golfy wicked a wily, golfy wicked a wily, wicked a wicked a wicked a golfy wicked a wicked. Because the Admiral Dancer coming and ask my name and I'm gonna need ya. Rastafari, I dare you to fuck down ya. Dr. J, I hear my master. MC Ren, I'm gonna come kind of faster. Here come your low with the wicked a wicked rock, wicked a wicked a wash, wicked a wicked a wicked scratch. That's why the Admiral, my liberty, my touch, everyone. NWA is in the house, is in the house, is in the house. I listen up, call we in the house. Kaya, up, up, listen it up, 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 up. Listen up, because Ram Dance, every lady love me. Kaya, every lady come and run, get me. Because me singing on the NWA album. That's why me singing up on this NWA album, girl.
G-Lou, what's up, fam? It's H-Link, posting you down 54th and Van Ness, listening to the G-Lou show. The topics are real and famous, whether it's live from the pen or on the city blocks of Havoc Riders. When the lights come on, West Side Men, from 7 to 9 on 92.3 Live Radio with G-Lou and company. The Herbie Grubbs.
Turn your music up, grab your cup as you ride with the homie G-Lou, tuning in to the West Side Wednesdays on Block Talk Radio. G-Lou, you know how we do, take me to the West Side, homie. Yeah, let's get this shit cracking.
Yeah.
Los Angeles Approach Control, this is Cessna 0281 Echo 119.3. Over.
Cessna 81 Echo, Cessna Approach Control. Roger.
Cessna 81 Echo is over the Compton Airport, 5-2 at 5000, requesting ground control approach to the Los Angeles Airport. Over.
81 Echo, Los Angeles Approach Control. Roger. Radar identification, turn right heading 030.
Gave the less of them and blazed at the rest of them. What can I say, California I ain't. When niggas die every day over some shit they say. Disconnected from the streets forever. As long as I got a Beretta, nigga, I'm down for whatever. I roll with my shit off safety. For niggas that been hating me lately and the bitches that wanna break me. If Cali blew up, I'd be in the aftermath. Bumping gangsta rap shit down the blast for cash. Cause from Eazy-E to DOC to DPG. Started from that SOB. D-R-E, like Dub C, I'm rich rolling, pistol holding, pocket swole, nigga, that's how I'm rolling. Put the flame to the killer, nigga, worldwide homicide, mob figure in the building. For real, I'm hitting switches, making bitches eat bitches. You see me grab my dick every time I pose for pictures. I own acres, floor seats watching the Lakers. I'm cool with SAs who got AKs and cases.
Dedicated to all of those with big ego. Never faking, we get the dough and live legal. Ain't the takers, we dip them all and yank the key though. Niggas play this and they know cause Jeeps and Regal. Dedicated to all of those with big ego. Never faking, we get the dough and live legal. Ain't the takers, we dip them all and yank the key though. Bitches play this and they bend the Jeeps and Geo.
I bust with Mr. Tuffy, slash a smoothie doofy. Crash and flex on Tuesdays, harassing hoes and movies. Passing by with Uzis, man, who you aiming at? That shady bitch and that bitch nigga that was claiming that rap attack, attack. I don't sympathize for whack hoes and wimpy guys. You got to recognize that man is an enterprise. Cali pride, Bronson rider, South Centralized. The Henny got me energized. Smoking guys trying to focus on mine. Poke their eyes out, I'm LA's locust. Hope they don't have to find out the hard way. Like snitch niggas in the pen to get hit when the guards look the other way. We hitting hard hit man and Dre. You playing games, I suggest you know the rules. We putting guns to fools, make you run your jewels. Take your honey and cruise to the snooty and snooze. Cop booze, pop hoochie to the nut oozes. You shouldn't fuck with crews this sick. Aftermath is we rude shit. I'm big hit, don't confuse me with no other bout to blow, motherfucker.
Dedicated to all of those with big ego. Never faking, we get the dough and live legal. Haters, haters, we sip the moe and yank the ego. Niggas play this and they roll the Jeeps and Rego. Dedicated to all of those with big ego. Never faking, we get the dough and live legal. Haters, haters, we sip the moe and yank the ego. Bitches play this and they bend the Jeeps and Geos.
Bitch, don't call here anymore. We feel like bimble wings. Bitch, don't call here anymore. No, no.
What up, it's Hitman. I ain't at the crib right now, so you can leave a name and number after the beep, unless it's Tammy's ugly ass. I can fuck it with you.
Hey, what's up, everyone? This is the OG Morgan Freeman, and I'm tuned into my guy G. Lou on the G. Lou Show. And if you don't know now, you know. Let's go.
Yeah, nigga. MC Ren up in this motherfucker.
West, West, y'all.
Yeah. L.A. niggas. L.A. niggas rule the world, nigga. Y'all niggas gotta recognize, you know what I'm saying? Niggas don't wanna peep game, you know what I'm saying? But this shit come all the way back around here. My nigga Dre dropping heat rocks on y'all bitch ass, you know what I'm saying? You gotta recognize, LA niggas connected all over the motherfucking world, nigga. Recognize this, keep that.
Now in my younger days, I used to sport a rag. Backpack full of cans plus a 4-4 mag. G'd up from the feet up, blued up from the shoe up, hard crew up. Loking, smoking and drinking till we threw up.
Till we threw up.
Allenburg Park, tagging him, fools up. Ditching my class just to fuck your school up. You don't want to blast, nigga, tuck your school up. But don't sleep, y'all niggas quit the shooting.
Now there's another motherfucker with no future. But time by much smoother when I maneuver. Dope like Cuba, got him jumping disciples to the
I'm coming straight out of Compton with a loose cannon. Smoke big green, call it Bruce Banner. Watch your manners at last, another blast from the top notch. From way back with the pop rocks, I pop lock with ya. Picture this, Dr. Dre twisting with the licks, and Hitman bought a fix. Don't trip, it's a time bomb in this bitch. Hear it tick, 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 tick. Wait a minute, it's on. I tell it like a true macadelic. Weed and cocaine so separate. Check it, from sundown to sun up. Clown and run up, the aftermath of beat two in your gut. Nigga, what?
We roll deep, smoke on weed, drank and pack heat. Requirements for survival each day.
It's a West Coast Jack move, they call me hit. Cause I spit like Gats do, cock me back. Bust caps for my Max crew at Fairfax. We used to wear Air Max shoes, that's true. But I grew up with niggas jack you, harass you. Blast you for that set you claim.
Where you from?
Mash on you for your Turkish chain. CKBK, loot up or flame. I ran with the gang, I help niggas get jacked for they Dane and Dane. My pants hang below my waistline. I look humble on a rumble.
Yeah, yeah.
I bang them like Vince Carter from the baseline. Don't waste my time. Fuck a scrap and kill a Cali. AKs and nines. One time sunshines and fine ass bitches. Hawaiian tie drive by. 6 foes on switches.
I was raised in the hood. Caught what the death weather. Brothers in the hood. Refused to go Hollywood. Slugs for the fuck of it. Anybody hating on us can suck a dick. If I catch you touching mine, you catch a flat line. Dead on the floor, better than yours. Driving away, getting head from a whore. And save a wreck to the Z. Fuck it with me, might get your band from TV. Cassette and CD, it's all mine. The whole nine, the right time, multiply. We don't die, the streets don't lie. What, so neither do I. I'm bad for your health, like putting a pistol up to your face and blasting yourself.
5 in the morning, burglars at my door. Glock 45 in my dresser drawer. Let him come in, bye, he see the thunder roll. Roll with niggas who buy fifths by the foe and bruised by the case. Slap you in the face with the face, Dr. Dre lace. Liquid games with sedans and gold rings. Haters go to staff, but can't find no openings.
We roll deep, smoke on weed, drank and pack heat. Requirements for survival each day.
Y'all know what it is, Rare the Blue, chillin' with my homeboy G-Lo. That's what it do.
We stay on point, let's face the
Yeah, wake your cold mouth motherfucking ass up. What up, it's your boy OG C-Lo, circa 81 from the 213, now up in that 509. You are now listening to the G-Lo Show on Blog Talk Radio, West Coast, stand up. East Coast, rep, we see you. Midwest, we see you. The whole dirty, south, what's up, we see you. Shout out to all listeners world motherfucking wide, but you know, you got to bow down to the motherfucking west side. This is the G-Lo Show.
Can we get a motherfucking moment of silence for this small chronic break? Yeah, niggas be brown-nosing these hoes and shit, taking bitches out to eat and spending money on these hoes, you know what I'm saying? I treat a bitch like 7-Up, I never have, I never will. I tell a bitch like this, bitch, you without me is like Harold Melvin without the Blue Notes, you'll never go platinum. Hey, Daz, give me a light, nigga.
Yeah.
welcome y'all to the fabulous Carolina West. I own this motherfucker, and my name is Tata. Y'all niggas know who I am, y'all niggas tan up shit. But we got something old and something new for y'all tonight. Put your hand together for Snoop Doggy Dogg, the Dog Pound, and the fabulous Dramatics.
It's like everywhere I look and everywhere I go, I'm hearing motherfuckers trying to steal my flow. But it ain't no thing to see my nigga Coolio put me up on the game when I step through the hill.
You know, some of these niggas is so deceptive, using my styles like a contraceptive. I hope you get burnt, seems you haven't learned. It's the knick-knack paddywhack, I still got the biggest sack. So put your gun away, run away, cause I'm back. Wow. Hit 'em up, get 'em up, split 'em up now. Tell me what's going on, it make me wanna holler cause my dollars come in ozone. Known for the break off, so take off your clothes and quit trying to spit at my motherfucking hoes. Speaking of hoes, I get to the point. You think you got the bomb cause I rode you a joint? You's a flea, and I'm the big dog. I scratch you off my balls with my motherfucking paws. Y'all's niggas better recognize and see where I'm coming from and still east side till I die. Why X, Y, as the world keeps spinning to the D-O-double-G.
Why?
Well, if you give me 10 bitches, then I'll fuck all 10. See my homie Snoop Dogg sipping juice and gin. Don't slip, I'm for the set trip to get paper. Style's very packing flavor like lifesavers. Ain't that something? Talk shit and I'm dumping. I had your whole fucking block bumping. Don't sweat, protect the technique. I'm unique like China. You never find a bomberama than this nigga behind you. So peekaboo, clear the way, I'm coming through. 1, 2. You can't see me, I'm a G like that, strapped with hit hard tactics. A fucking menace using hoes like tennis rackets. It's on again, it's on and popping. All I see is green, so there ain't no stopping. I wanna see some panties dropping. I'm coming from LA, she used to chill with Dre up in Compton.
All I ever could do was use that hoe, chill out my degrees and quickies and catch me.
I'm dishing out blues, I'm upsetting like bad news. Cut off Cassie's French braids and house shoes. Corrupt the name so our marks are catching slugs. And I smoke weed for the fuck of it. Rough and rugged shit. It's unexplanatory how I get wicked, but it's mandatory that I kick it. Check it, I'm running hoes in 94. Now must approve it, hoes call me Sugar Ray. For the way I be sticking and moving, prepare for a woe with some. I'm headhunting, hit the button to light shit up like Red Jones. Peep the massacre from a verbal assassin. Murdering with rhymes, packing tech nines for some action. You really don't know, do you? You fucking with a hawk, you can't do me. I'm going out loony like Oak Dog.
The Dog Pound rocks the party
all night long,
till we it don't stop and up. It don't quit for up. The Dog Pound click to drop the cabbie. No jiggity
pads out of the motherfucking cup. Once smoke, so grab a seat and grab your gin and juice and stack up the fluff.
I flip flop and serve hoes with the fat dick. Till I die, I'm still screaming that.
Bitches ain't shit.
Now I'm the Mac Daddy Hattie. Not known about the city where I'm from. Dumb diddy dumb as your groove to the gangster shit. The D-O-double-G, the P-O-U-N-D, the gangster click.
Now as the pound break it down with the gangster funk. I could see and I could tell us what the fuck you want. So I legs up the chronic so I can get high. I promise I'll smoke chronic till the day that I die.
It's a dog, it's a dog, it's a dog.
It's a doggy dog world.
It's a doggy dog world.
What you see
Yep, and there it is right there, how the West was won. I hope you enjoyed that presentation. It's your homie G. Lou. It's the G. Lou Show, West Side Wednesdays radio show with G. Lou and Miss Queen Jean. Told you you could just kick back tonight, Queen.
Man, King G. Lou, I appreciate you just letting me kick back because I actually learned a lot just from listening to the contents of really good contents that you had there. So thank you for the history. It was a great show. Like I said, I learned a lot just from listening. I was even taking notes, and I was like, okay. Wow. So, great contents that you had there. Every conversation that Big Boy was having with everybody, and it was pretty deep for me to learn the things that I learned. So,
wow.
Pretty deep.
Thank you, Queen.
You know, absolutely. So, you did great again. So, thank you.
Okay.
I was able to chill back.
Right. So, since you chilled most of the show, you know, around this time of the show, we give the people some kind, great words to help them get through the rest of their week, and you usually come with the best one. So if you have anything left in you, can you give the people something, Queen?
Sure. Spiritual practice is the art of shifting perspective. So marinate on that. Don't let that go over your head. I'll repeat it again. Spiritual practice is the art of shifting perspective. And just remember to stay prayed up. Definitely stay prayed up. There's so much going on in the world that's surrounding all of us. I'm praying for you all, and I hope you all are praying for me and my families. Be blessed. Have a wonderful evening, a blessed evening. Be safe. And I'll see you guys back here. Well, we'll see you guys back here on Friday with Fabulous Flashback Fridays with Cousin Marcy and I. So peace and love to everyone, Ashe. And again, thank you, King G. Lou, the great.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Queen. Couldn't do it without you. Thank you, everyone who tuned in tonight. Much love and respect. Everyone who showed love tonight, thank you for the love. We'll see you again. Like I always tell you, if I don't see you again, 7 days without prayer makes 1 week. W-E-A-K. Those are the words I always leave you with. Just try to listen to what I said and take heed to talk to the man upstairs. He talks back. With that being said, we out of here. Peace and love, y'all. Hey,
Kevin, come on inside.
What it do? Big G Lou coming through with the payback in 1982 off La Brea, where I stayed at. I'ma take you way back like oldies on an 8-track. Something you can bump in your ride and sit way back. I push a Mercedes, but ain't never been in no Maybach. Only a couple limos with chauffeurs, that was way back. I think I'm on track to be one of the greatest ever. Cause all the homies say is the oldies rule forever. Shout out to the Nellas, hope they free the homie G-Wee. Can't forget my homie Shadow and Big TD. I'm Big Pops, I'm a reptile from the VC. In 1989 I got quoted on by Tweety. And the homie Stranger, the danger was soon to catch up. And 2 weeks later, to my surprise, I was next up. Just another day in the Nella or SGV. The 626, the 213, way back as a dog.
Right here in the Bible, Exodus 20:13, thou shalt not kill.
I ain't never killed nobody before.
Heaven, I've heard stories about you.
Yeah. Hey, check this out, right? Hey,
R.I.P. to the homeboys gone. For you I made this song. Like Tupac said, life goes on. I'm in my zone, I'm in my own mind frame. Don't need the homies to go with me, I'm my own damn gang. You only get 1 minute to pray and a second to die. So before I pull the trigger, I gotta ask why. Only God knows where we going and where we been. Like New Edition said, homie, is this really the end?
I don't think God really cares much about it. He wouldn't have put us in. And look where he stayed.
You don't have any belief for it. The Lord don't care about who's got the biggest house.
My grandpa always coming at us with that religion. Every time. From one ear and out the other.
Hey! Do you care whether you live or die?